I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. The book of Ruth is God's message of love. And as we look in this book, we see that it was not only written for the Israelites, it was also written to all mankind to exhibit the never-ending love of God. And it teaches that genuine love at times may require uncompromising sacrifice. And regardless of our lot in life, we can live according to the precepts of God. Genuine love and kindness will be rewarded. And God abundantly blesses those who seek to live obedient lives. Obedient living does not allow for accidents in God's plan. God extends mercy to the merciful. And we should follow God's admonition as found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, as we look at the book of Ruth, first of all, let me say that God is the author. God has written the complete Bible. And as we think of this, now you say, well, he didn't pen it down. No, he used man. But he spoke. Man listened. And man not only listened to what God said, but man wrote down the things that took place during the time they lived. And God is the author, and we need to always remember that as we study the Word of God. Well, Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 says, Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Well, we see in this verse that the journey begins. The account begins with judges, when judges ruled according to verse 1. Now, the judges ruled about 450 years. And you go to Acts chapter 13, verses 17 through 20, and it says, The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And above the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Now as we look at this, we look into the book of Judges as Ruth begins. And we're going into the book of Ruth. It says that, as we study the Bible, we find certain things. And I find that there was a total of 13 judges during the time of the judges. Some people will disagree with that, but I have a list of them. In Judges 21:25, it says, In those days there was no king of Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, the 13 judges, and we look in the book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 14, it talks about the institution of judges. It says there, And the anger of the Lord was against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And then in Judges 2:16, it says, Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. I see, first of all, Othniel in Judges chapter 3, Ehud, Judges chapter 3, and then Shamgar in Judges chapter 3, Deborah in Judges chapter 4, and also Barak. We view him and Deborah together there. He was a judge. And we also see Gideon in Judges chapter 6, Tola in Judges chapter 10, Jair in Judges 10, and Jephthah in Judges 11, 1, and Ibzan, Judges 12, Elon, Judges 12, Abdon, Judges 12, and then finally Samson in Judges 13. And I suppose of all these judges, if you would ask someone to name a judge, for the most part, they would name Samson. We know that Samson and Delilah, we know the story about that, how that she cut his hair and he lost his strength. But that's probably one of the most famous judges that anyone could name. Well, we can look at these judges and then look at ourselves and realize something that, you know, God can use even us. These fellows, and this lady, Deborah, these people were not perfect. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Well, I see that not only do we look back and we see the judges involved coming into the book of Ruth, but we also see that we're speaking about real people. Once again, Ruth 1 says in verse 1, "Now it came to pass in those days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." Well, the account is real. And I want you to notice the word in verse 1 there, the word Moab. The Moabs were descendants of Lot, Moab being the son of Lot and his older daughter. Of course, this was an incestuous relationship there, and you can read that, if you like, going back in the book of Genesis there and reading the account that took place between Lot and his daughter. Well, the book of Ruth is not a fable or parable. God doesn't pull any punches. He lets us know exactly what's happening. And he doesn't sugarcoat anything. He lets us know what is exactly going on. And the first thing I see here, these are real people. And as we look on, the book of Ruth is an actual account of a certain family, according to verse 1. It says there, it does not say this, "Now once upon a time." It says, "Now it came to pass." Well, not only do we see real people involved here, we ask this question: why did this family leave Bethlehem, Judah? Again, we read in verse 1 that there was a famine, Ruth 1, verse 1. They were out of the will of God. Judges 21:25 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." I do not believe the husband prayed about this very long. I believe he made a mistake. But later on, we're going to see how that God turns this mistake into something wonderful. And if I might say this, that the book of Ruth is God's message of love. And it's a beautiful love story that you and I need to pay attention to. Well, why did this family leave Bethlehem, Judah? There was a famine, and they were out of the will of God. Well, who left Bethlehem, Judah, according to the verse that we've looked at, and the next verse in verse 2 of Ruth chapter 1? It says, "And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there." Well, notice that God uses specific names here of those involved. Elimelech, which means "my God is king." Naomi, which means "the gracious" or "sweetness." And we see Mahlon, the son, one of the sons, means "weakly." And Chilion means pining or wasting. Well, Bethlehem, Judah means "the house of bread." And the family went to Moab. And we see here that, and we study the Word of God, the Moabites were descendants of Lot. Moab was the son of Lot and his older daughter. Well, these people left the land of the living and went into the land of the dead. Ruth chapter 1, verse 3. "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons." We see in this verse death. Elimelech's wages was death. In verse 4 it says, "And they took them wives." This is speaking of the two sons now. "They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. Not Oprah, but Orpha. And the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. We see taking place here a marriage, two marriages. Ruth was married to Mahlon. And you see that in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 10. And we see that Ruth means friend or companion. Ruth 4:10 says, "Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon," there's where we see that she is the wife of Mahlon, they married, "says, have I purchased to be my wife to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance?" And let me say that I'm jumping ahead a little bit here because this is speaking of Boaz. Boaz is speaking here. And it says that he did this, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among the brethren and from the gate of his place. Your witnesses this day. Well, Orpah was married to Chilion, and Orpah means fawn. You can read Ruth chapter 1, verse 4, and Ruth chapter 4 and verse 9 in comparison with this. Now, Orpah, I believe, could also mean young one. And we look at Ruth chapter 1 and verse 5, and it says, "And Mahlon and Chilion died." Boy, the husband dies, now these two fellows died. It says, "They died, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." In other words, they were gone. They left her. And I want you to notice here that death has no mercy. Death takes the heirs in this verse, in chapter 1, verse 5. And notice here that Naomi makes the decision in verse 6. "Then she arose and her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread." Now we see someone going God's way, because we see that she's made a decision here, that Naomi made a decision. And Naomi decides to leave Moab according to verse 6. And as we look at verse 7, it says, "Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah," the land of the living. Naomi decides to return to Judah, the house of bread. And I wonder today, have you decided to go to the land of the living? The land of the living, of course, is heaven, that place where we know that our Savior lives. And did you know it could also mean where you're at right now, the land of the living? Now, we're not in heaven yet, that's for sure. But you can leave the land of death, and that is the land of sin. You say, what do you mean? What I mean is this. You can turn and ask God, "Lord, forgive me of my sin. I want to live forever. I want to have eternal life." And as you do that, Jesus Christ will come in. You can have a personal relationship with him by saying, "Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior."
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly, is our prayer.